It's also been kind of a 1-2 punch here. We felt like people figured out how to deal with tariffs. Then this COVID-19 hit.
F&B furniture stores weren't deemed in most cases essential across the country and presented challenges in and of itself for a lot of these retailers.
They weren't deemed essential, but some of these big box stores that were, they were still selling furniture. There was a little bit of a disconnect on, I think, essential versus non-essential. And the stores are reopening now. The whole industry is figuring out, how do we do business in this environment?
The challenges that furniture retailers have faced over these past few weeks is, really been interesting to follow, because it's as we'll get into today, multiple tiers to kind of the challenges they've faced, as COVID hit and spread throughout the country and impacted businesses from coast to coast here. But the challenges that they faced were, you had them being asked to shut down because they were deemed non-essential. And meanwhile, there were home improvement stores left open, big box stores left open that had furniture and were still able to sell it, and it kind of created an unfair situation for them. And that's exactly what a little bit of what Powell Slaughter, the senior editor at Furniture Today, spoke about. As we had our discussion continuing this trade media series, trade partner series, here on the Independent Thinking Podcast, but so much more too. It's having to deal with these competitive disadvantages, really, for them, but also the 1-2 punch, very similar to the appliance space, the 1-2 punch of tariffs on products and what that did prior to COVID. The inability to kind of plan for something like this hitting, and then looking ahead to how to operate as a retailer in this space in a world with this global pandemic going on. And and then we look ahead too, what's this situation mean for the manufacturers as well, that typically have product and the markets that they typically bring those products to and introduce them at being canceled and going virtual, that sort of thing. What does that look like for manufacturers and the retailers trying to get their hands on product? So really a lot to dive into with Powell. You had a great conversation, one that, took a lot of different turns, but, certainly learned a lot throughout the course of the conversation as well. So excited to share that with you, as always. So we're just going to go ahead and dive into our conversation on the Independent Thinking Podcast with Powell Slaughter of Furniture Today. All right, we're back on the Independent Thinking Podcast and continuing our run through a little series here with our trade media partners, and excited today to have on Powell Slaughter, senior editor at Furniture Today. Powell, appreciate you, under these new working circumstances, taking some time out of your schedule and, hopping into your home office and chatting with us for the podcast.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Rob.
You bet. Yeah. So tell us a little about, I think everyone in our space is pretty familiar with Furniture Today and what you guys do and how important you are to the space. But start by telling us just a little bit about yourself and your background and then a little bit about Furniture Today as well.
Cool. Well, Furniture Today, of course, a weekly trade publication where we like to think we're the leader in the residential home furnishing space for trade journalism. I came to Furniture Today 25 years ago. Started off covering some kind of ancillary wood categories and retail technology, and moved on to become case goods editor there, where I was responsible for all wood furniture. Was there for 10 years, went to home furnishings business for the startup there, where I was covering retail operations and best practices, and came back to Furniture Today in 2015. I had a couple of furniture categories, but my main focus there was to increase our coverage of the logistics category, which we really stepped up in that a lot, that and retail finance. A couple of years ago, though, we needed we had an opening to cover the upholstery beat, which, as we know, is fairly significant in the industry.
Yeah, a little bit.
So they switched me over to that, and I've been covering upholstery since April, March of 2018.
That's pretty cool.
But I like to think that, you know, with the experience covering retail logistics, I try to bring some of those supply chain issues into my coverage.
Yeah. Gotcha. Now, funny story that we discovered, you know, in our talk before hopping on the podcast, was that our paths nearly crossed at one time. Something interesting. So, you know, NAPCO Media in Philadelphia has a wide variety of, you know, trades and industries that get covered, but we just missed each other being coworkers.
Well,
look at that. What do you know? No, it's pretty cool. And, but, you know, obviously a lot of time spent covering this space and, you know, I have to imagine, you know, it's been, these recent weeks have been some of the most interesting time in that, you know, time that you've covered this industry.
Yes, indeed. You know, the word unprecedented gets tossed around a lot, but in this case, it's certainly true. I went through, during my career, I was involved in coverage of the anti-dumping petition against Wood Bedroom, the crash of 2008, 2009, and the recovery out of that. And this is just through all those times, through the economic issues we had 10 years ago, you know, you always had a High Point market. You always had a Las Vegas market. Las Vegas is still scheduled, but, you know, we had to cancel spring market. And I was sitting there in April going, gee, what am I doing here? But it's, you know, it's forced changes on everybody. For retailers, for manufacturers, for the way we do our jobs. And everybody's adjusted. And, I've just never seen anything like this in my lifetime, period.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, it's crazy. I mean, you know, we've had our own changes at Nationwide having to push prime time and rethink things a little bit. So knowing kind of what this space and, you know, what you're used to, a space that everyone travels a lot, you know, even though it's retail, you know, I think there's a lot more travel than people realize for these small businesses, and not having any of that kind of completely changes the pace and your sort of your regular cadence of, you know, what you expect your calendar to look like every year, you know, even quarter to quarter. But, you know, it's just been weird. It's been a weird first half of the year.
Well, you know, it's also been kind of a 1-2 punch here. You know, for a couple of years, we were dealing with the tariff issue, and there was a big disruption in supply chain as manufacturers moved out of China into places like Vietnam, Cambodia, India, and kind of a rejuvenation in Malaysia and Indonesia. But a lot, especially for like upholstery, you know, the industry there had a long experience in wood, but getting ramped up for, you know, what was essentially a new category for a lot of people created some issues flowing goods. We felt like, okay, we got people figured out how to deal with tariffs. Then this COVID-19 hit, which basically threw a big wrench in. Everybody knows Chinese New Year is throughout, you know, celebrated in China and Tet and Vietnam. But, you know, you had all these factories that remained closed after that. So, you know, there was an issue with supply chain already there, and this just exacerbated that. People are starting to get caught up now, but the deal is there's so many. We've had a really good May at retail. I mean, this kind of activity in the second quarter is, again, unprecedented.
Yeah, right.
You know, and so a lot of stores have been closed. Maybe some of them were doing business online and selling off their inventory there, but there was an immediate need for product. And for companies that were flowing containers, you know, from Asia, that became an issue. We've seen a lot more interest in quick ship, U.S. warehousing, things like that. Because right now, you know, we talked about High Point Market being canceled. What I'm hearing right now is that, you know, yeah, we always want to see new products, but what we really need to do right now is focus on business. You know, it's booming right now. We need product now. What can we get now?
So, right. And that, yeah. Well, the interesting thing is that you talk to the other categories as well. I know the problem seems very similar you know, with how, what appliances are facing right now, as far as supply chain, you know, not being able to get product here from manufacturers whose plants were shut down for a time, or reduced staff and couldn't produce, because those guys, you know, when I say those guys, I mean the appliance side, had the benefit of being essential businesses in most cases, yeah, you know, in this country. So they were able to stay open somewhat, you know, but they still face their own supply chain issues. Whereas, you know, F&B furniture stores, not always, I'm sure you could kind of speak to this too, weren't deemed in most cases essential across the country and presented challenges in and of itself for a lot of these retailers.
I think one of the problems there is that, you know, they weren't deemed essential, but some of these big box stores that were,
right,
you know, they were still selling furniture. I mean, furniture retailers were saying, hey, why don't you make these guys rope off this section of the, you know, that section of the store? And, you know, from what I can tell, that wasn't happening. So there was a little bit of a disconnect on, you know, I think essential versus non-essential.
Right.
And it, you know, it was, you know, an unfair, you know, competitive situation there. But,
right,
you know, stores are reopening now, albeit in, you know, in way, you know, they're having to do things differently. The whole industry is figuring out, how do we do business in this environment, whether that's on the supply or the retail side.
And you kind of mentioned it too. I think a lot of them lead, we could speak from our membership and what they were doing from a digital standpoint, but, you know, what else were you seeing? Because a lot, obviously there was things like appointment retailing that became an option and is an option still in most cases, chat things, you know, digital, yeah, services like that. But what other sort of strategies or tactics are you seeing retailers, yeah, take,
but
to kind
by
of?
By the way, you mentioned the chat.
Yeah.
I know that when I go to a retailer website, the minute I hit that thing, somebody's on there. You know,
it's a big deal.
I hadn't seen that to that extent. You know, and this wasn't just at these big companies. This was, you know, at some of the, you know, smaller, maybe independents, some of the regional players. But, you know, they had somebody on the line. One thing I think a lot of people, if they weren't already, they've had some time to get smart with online sales. They're having to kind of figure out how to do that. I think that's going to be important moving forward for, you know, the, and what we call the traditional brick and mortar retailers, that aspect. Also, something that's really, it shows a lot of potential is the buy online, pick up at the store model. You buy it online, you don't even have to go into the store, you just go pick it up.
Right.
I think some of those types of habits are, you know, I think consumers are, you know, could well use those types of things moving forward. And the by appointment, I think that's going to remain in place, particularly for consumers who have real health issues, who might be in a high risk area. You know, if you offer them the ability to come in and, you know, be socially distanced, I think even if stores kind of reopen, you know, more fully, I think some people are still going to want appointments. So.
And the interesting thing, I heard this, you know, talking, it may have been on either on a previous episode or just, you know, in talking with, you know, others in the NMG team here about what we've seen from appointment retailing, is that, you know, when someone makes an appointment, it's not like they're just coming in to browse at that point.
Yeah.
They're already coming in with a mindset that they want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you may be having less foot traffic per se, but the foot traffic that's coming in is almost, you know, they're there with, you know, checkbooks open, wallets ready to spend, and close rates, you know, those go up a little bit. They look a little bit better.
A lot of them know exactly what they want when they come.
Exactly.
In the door.
Yep.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good. It's interesting to see that, you know, it's less traffic, but the traffic that's coming in is almost more, you know, they're there with a purpose.
Yeah. It's meaningful traffic. But, you know, it all, you know, we talked about different ways of doing business. You know, it's not just at the store, it's like at the market, you know, I think, you know, the appointment only is going to be, you know, par for the course for a little while. I think until we get a vaccine, you know, we're going to see a lot of, social distancing, virtual shows, one-on-one shows. Here in High Point, we had 150 exhibitors open up in mid-June to, it was kind of a critical mass that we were able to get some of the big guys in and some of the drive-in and, carry those, actually get to see new product and inline product. So we have markets on schedule now. How that's going to play out, we'll see. It's just no telling right now.
Now, I know, new products and furniture, you mentioned those markets. Obviously, that's a big chance and usually a big platform for these manufacturers to show off what's new and coming. Uh-huh. Does the lack of, physical in-person events mixed with the supply chain issues and what you've seen there, does that kind of put on pause any new product launches, or what are you hearing from manufacturers as far as their ability to introduce new concepts and things like that in the furniture space because of this?
Well, I think a lot of people, a lot of people just basically took their April intros and said, we're going to bring them out in October. Others, took it on the road, when they could, to retailers that were willing to be open to appointments. You have people flying in retailers to their showrooms to show them new goods. I don't think you're going to see, long-term, I don't think you're going to see a big slowdown in the introduction of new products because, people are, we hear about, consumers who've been, sitting around looking at the same thing in their homes when going out and buying furniture. Retailers always want to freshen their floors because, if you come into a store or go onto the website or whatever and keep seeing the same thing over and over, you tend not to say, okay, well, they're still got what I saw 2 months ago. So I think that the flow of the product's going to be different. Maybe where they're sourcing, that's going to change, but I think you'll still see a lot of new goods coming out.
And exactly what you mentioned is something that I know we've been hearing a lot about, and that's, this time at home, stores were closed, traffic and mm-hmm. actual in-store sales performance may have been lagging, but all this time the consumers have been sitting at home, they've been sitting on their couches, they've been eating at the same dinner tables that mm-hmm. Three times a day now rather than once a day.
Yeah.
All that pent up demand. I mean, are you seeing anything yet as far as, retailers and brands sort of capitalizing on that?
Well, my colleague Tom Russell, who covers wood furniture, he's seen a big spike in dining room sales, which kind of were lagging behind a lot of other categories. And that speaks to the point you just made. They're sitting down there three times a day. One of the other areas we're seeing a lot of action in is motion upholstery, sectionals, seating for the family room. Furniture is a deferable purchase, excuse me. And, unless you got a mattress that's breaking your back, you can pretty much get by without purchasing furniture for a while. But this is, if you're on that sofa so much more than you usually are, style question, it's comfort. Yeah.
You notice those springs poking into you, when you're sitting there Netflixing for 8 hours a day.
And home office, another area that's showing a lot of potential here now because, who's to say how this working at home wave is gonna happen. I mean, I wouldn't want to be in the commercial real estate business right now because I think some companies are going to find out, hey, maybe we just need a skeleton crew in here and have people come in and maybe alternate days in the office, maybe, come in one day a week in the office. I think you might see, this is not my day job, but you might see shrinking in demand for commercial real estate. Anyway.
Yeah, Interesting. And I mean, to your point, you know, we've taken the time at home, you know, from my family's perspective to reshuffle rooms and figure stuff out, make more efficient use of the space we have. And it's resulted in some furniture purchases. So just one example of kind of the pent up demand and the other side too. You know, we've been hearing a lot about consumers, you know, that with the reduced travel into the office, you know, saving on gas, saving on, toll expenses, things like that. So
going out for dinner.
Less going out. So it's the savings have gone up, which means that not only is there pent up demand to purchase new furniture and products, but also there's, a buildup of, you know, those personal coffers are a little more full than maybe they typically are. So there's more cash at hand to spend. So,
we've been talking about that some in our pages, and you know, we'll continue to do so on Donna. There's some good things going on for furniture out there right now. I think what everybody's wondering is, okay, how long does it last?
Right.
You know, we're seeing, you know, maybe we'll have another strong, you know, holiday, you know, second quarter usually isn't that active. But I think that's what everybody's kind of waiting, but, you know, kind of getting ready for good business, I believe.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Kind of changing pace a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Any cool story? You know, obviously you guys do a lot of coverage. You got a lot of stories that you're pumping out every day. Kind of lends itself to some cool stories that pop up. You know, any unique sort of anything that caught you off guard or made you smile in your coverage during this otherwise rough time?
I think overall, I've been really, you know, kind of proud of the industry on some of the things they've done. You know, I cover upholstery. We had dozens of upholstery manufacturers who, you know, on a dime, converted their operations to produce PPE.
Right.
I don't think I said that right. Personal protective wear.
Yeah. Yep.
But they jumped right in. It kind of and they ramped up really quick. I had a couple of people. The way they handled one of the issues that some of these manufacturers are having, particularly some of the larger ones, is that when people went out on unemployment, some of them were choosing to stay on unemployment versus come back to the plant. Omnia Leather in California, I'm sure there's some others, but they paid their employees throughout the shutdown, throughout the furlough.
Right.
And so they got basically everybody back. They were able to, you know, kind of hit the ground running. Everybody knows Jim McInville at Gallery Furniture in Houston. You know, the way he stepped up in previous crises. Well, he did it again. You know, he was working with some local nonprofits. He set up the Gallery Furniture Resource Center, which brought in people for job training, food banks. Let's see, what else did they do there?
They did a whole lot.
Mental health services.
Yeah.
High school and vocational schooling. I mean, you know, what a great guy. I mean, you think, you know, he does it because, you know, that's the way he is. But you don't, you know, the people in Houston, they aren't going to forget that. You know,
right.
Anyway, also, I got to give a hats off to you guys. I was looking at your,
Back to Business Hub.
Well, the shop safe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's some, you know, bringing, you know, getting CDC training, you know, to tell people how they can, you know, make their consumers feel safe. That's adding some value there as a marketing group. So hats off to that. There's a lot of good things out there. I mean, I've been around the industry for a long time, and it's got some great people and some people who really care. That's
For sure. And I mean, yeah, it's the cool thing about the small business side of things is that, you know, it is so family oriented and individual oriented that you really, as opposed to going into these big box stores where it's sort of corporate and very ho-hum in the matter of the way they go about things. The independent channel really brings out that personal touch. And, you know, we're always talking about how that's something to lean into and use to your advantage as a business, but it really shines in times of need, yeah. I think. And, you know, always, you know, Gallery Furniture being a nationwide member is just an awesome example of that. And we see that in all sorts of pockets of the country. So, you know, it's cool. It's cool to see.
Yeah, and you know, also in the different environment that we have these days in stores, I think it really helps if some of these dealers, they actually know the people who are coming in.
Yep.
It's a lot easier to, you know, say, okay, this, you know, you got to wear a mask.
Come right.
On, you know, right. You know, right. Gotta keep your, you know, it, when you have that personal relationship, you know, that we've been hearing about some uncomfortable situations out there, and you know, I think they're in a good position to deal with that. So anyway,
for sure. Yeah. For sure. Well, I want to bring it back to, you know, your sort of not the one non-COVID question, you know, yeah. Your expertise on the space and, you know, things you see coming as we look ahead to the second half and the challenges aside, I know we already talked on what they're going to be the second half, but you know, in terms of the product itself, what types of trends are you looking for? And that, you know, you think will sort of, be prevalent and that these retailers need to keep their eye on as we, you know, move into the second half of the year.
I think you're seeing a pretty big emphasis across the board. Well, not with everybody, but with some pretty big players on figuring out how to, you know, do a better job of developing goods that work well in the online channel. I was just talking with some motion manufacturers about this opportunity because, you know, online is only growing and this is only thrown gas on that fire.
Yeah.
And you know, people are getting more comfortable with purchasing large items, but like with motion furniture, you know, that's a, you know, big piece of furniture has, you know, a big sectional, lots of metal, lots of mechanisms. Some of these guys are taking a more modular approach to the product, but, you know, getting a huge array of configurations out of a pretty small number of SKUs. I think RTA furniture, you're going to see a lot of real strong development in that, you know, and kind of a step up in the style. You know, there's some people who are doing it really well right now, but I think you've got more. I think you had Bernhardt, you know, mm-hmm. developing a channel specifically for the, you know, for the e-commerce sales. And that was even before COVID, but I think you're going to see more of that. In upholstery, sectionals are just really big now. I don't know what your members are hearing, but the, you know, the retailers I've talked with and the manufacturers, you know, who can, you know, who have the numbers in front of them, you know, that I think anything that brings flexibility in how you configure your room, that's going to be good. You know, because, you know, like a sectional, you can do something for a fairly small apartment on up to a, you know, huge open floor plan area. So that I think those are some things going on right now.
Gotcha.
Also, there's you know, we hear about Made in America a lot. I think there's some going to be more interest there purely from a logistical standpoint and, you know, proximity to market. I think a lot of, especially in, you know, with things so uncertain, you know, retailers don't want to invest in too much inventory. So, you know, if they can get a, you know, custom piece or just smaller amounts of inline goods flow more slowly, that's going to help importers who are doing U.S. warehousing programs. You're seeing a lot of big, you know, high cube warehouse operations going up for importers, so they can kind of feed that immediate demand. So, you know, there'll always be the big guys flowing containers, but
right,
you know, there's going to be, you know, especially when they want to kind of, you know, retailers, they don't have a lot of cash right now.
Yeah.
Going into this, I think, May was pretty good, but
right,
they're still getting caught up on their payables.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, we.
I don't know if that's the help or not. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, but it seems like whether you want to talk about it or not, the COVID thing is going to be here for a while to kind of weed through and work our way through as an industry. And, it's nice to have those glimpses of what's to come and thinking about what's ahead, but it's there in the back of our minds until we can get through this to the other side. And, lots to look forward to though. And for all those new product things, obviously Furniture Today is somewhere that members can turn, people in this industry can turn, and you guys got a lot of great stuff and look forward to continuing to follow the coverage. So,
Pal,
I appreciate having you on, appreciate you taking the time, and this was fun. Hopefully we can do it again soon, maybe in person here before we know it. I'll get one of those the elbow shake, and I'll get one of those extended microphones so we can this was awesome. Appreciate you taking the time.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Awesome, and a huge thanks again to Pal for taking time out of his day and logging on and getting it all set up for the podcast and having a great conversation, sharing some awesome insights, about the things they're following and, what they're looking out for as the second half of this year gets underway here. And, we're diving right into it. So, look forward to catching up with him again and, hearing what he's finding in this furniture space. And, we'll see. It's been an interesting, like he said, it's been an interesting go of it. But it's been fun to see, retailers and manufacturers alike, adjust their business strategies and make it so they're able to successfully operate during this time. And, more kudos to all you listeners out there, the retailers, who are doing their thing and finding ways, adjusting business strategies on the fly. So appreciate you taking the time, as always, to listen to the Independent Thinking Podcast, and we will catch you next time.